David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, instead of waiting a few minutes, I want you to watch out for personal pronouns. My, I, me, how personal this psalm is. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. No doubt about it, the 23rd Psalm is the most beloved of the 150 Psalms and very possibly the best loved, best known text in all of the Bible. The only thing close to it would be the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." But we all know and love the 23rd Psalm, and rightfully so. Now, Kyle Yates, in his commentary on the Psalms, he said, "More griefs have been put to rest by its sweet assurances. More sadness has been driven away. More confidence has been instilled than tongue can tell or pen can record. To know it, is to love it. To believe it is to live it, a life of victory, a life of joy and peace." It pictures God in love with his people, with rest in his bosom, with grace for all of our needs. What a beautiful psalm is the 23rd Psalm. Now, David is the author of Psalm 23, and he was the humble shepherd boy who God raised up to become the king of Israel. Who doesn't like the story of David, the shepherd boy, red hair, freckles out there watching the sheep? Samuel comes to the house of Jesse, you know, wants to see all his boys, and he's going to anoint the next king of Israel, and he sees Eliab, the big, tall, good-looking man, and he says, "That's probably the king. That's got to be the king," and he goes to anoint him, and God stops him, remember that? And said, "Don't look at the outward appearance as men look. I look on the heart." So that God had said, "I rejected all of these men." And I love it. Samuel the prophet said, "Do you have any other boys?" And Jesse goes, "Well, we have the runt." He's out watching the sheep. I actually read this week that no one in a family at this time wanted to watch the sheep. The lowest task of any slave or servant in the family was watching sheep. So we sent David out to watch sheep. It's like having the job of taking out the trash, you know. So he's not watching the sheep, and Samuel said, "We're not going to sit down until you get him." And they ran out to get David, brought David back, and the Lord spoke to Samuel's heart and said, "That's my man. Arise and anoint him." And he poured the oil over little David, and everyone's looking on like, "What?" And the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart, that he took him from watching sheep to actually shepherd of the nation of Israel. So from the sheepfold to being king of Israel. Now, at what point in David's life he penned this marvelous psalm, we do not know. The scriptures do not say. I like to think that maybe it was when he was young, a shepherd, and he's out in the field. Picture David, maybe a teenage boy, and he's got his harp probably plugged into a Fender amplifier, and he's singing psalms and he's praising the Lord. By the way, the psalms are songs. So he's worshiping, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Maybe it was when he was in his midlife, though, when he was running from Saul and he had the sword in his hand. David actually became a mighty man of war, so much so that he was not allowed by God to build the temple that was given to Solomon, his son, because he had blood on his hands. Or maybe it wasn't his youth or midlife, but maybe it was when he was old. This is the one that I think speaks to my heart the most. I don't know if it's because of my age. But I see David sitting on the throne, gray hair, crown kind of crooked on his head, and he's looking back over all of his life. from out there with the sheep, from running from Saul in the cave, from warring the Lord's battles, to now he's sitting on the throne. And maybe looked back and said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. But what we do know is that David wrote this psalm by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So he pictured God as his shepherd, and that with the Lord as his shepherd, he had everything that he needed in life, in death, and in eternity. Now, the theme of the psalm is in verse 1. By the way, just a little advertisement. On our homepage, under my sermons that are archived, I did a series called I Shall Not Want, and I did 6 sermons, one for each verse. You can check those out if you want to on our website. But in verse 1, we have the theme of the psalm. Look with me, verse 1. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, who is the Lord David's shepherd? The word Lord, in all capital letters, I want you to notice that, indicates that it's talking about Jehovah or Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God. This is the great I am statement of God. Now, remember when God spoke to Moses from the burning bush? And Moses was being commissioned to go to Pharaoh and to command him to release the people of Israel. And Moses said to the bush, who shall I tell him I'm sent by? And the Lord spoke from the bush and said, you tell him, I am hath sent you. I am that I am. This is that name that's here translated all capital letters in the English, Lord. It's Yahweh or Jehovah. It is the covenant-keeping God. Speaks of his timelessness and his self-sufficiency, that he is eternal, that he is unchangeable, immutable, and all-knowing, all-powerful, that he's the great and awesome Lord God. And it is actually a compound name for God. It's Jehovah Raha in the Hebrew, which means the Lord, my shepherd. Now, that phrase is that great I am statement. And it's interesting because it basically conveys the idea that whatever you need, God is. If you need a shepherd, he's Jehovah Raha. If you need righteousness, he's Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. If you need peace, he's Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. If you need provision, he's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who sees and provides. If you need a banner, he's Jehovah Nesse, the Lord my banner. So whatever you need, God becomes. And that's the revelation that we have in this 23rd Psalm. Now, in the New Testament, in John chapter 10, Jesus used the same phrase and said these words, I am, there it is, ego eimi, I am the good shepherd. I believe that this shepherd in Psalm 23 is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is our good shepherd. So Jesus is the shepherd, the good one. Now, if the Lord is our shepherd, then that makes us his what? His sheep. Bah! Isn't that awesome? You know, sheep is not a flattering title. The NFL starting up, we're headed into the fall. No NFL teams are called the sheep. You know, my team's going to be in the Super Bowl this year. Oh, what's that? It's the sheep. It doesn't work. We have the Lions. We have the Bears. We have the Seahawks. We have all these great names for the team. No one's called the sheep. Here they come. So it speaks of dependence and defenseless, and here it is, dumb sheep. You know that sheep are the dumbest animals on planet Earth? Just thought I'd encourage you. So we need a shepherd. We can't go it on our own. We can't just haul off down the road on our own. We need a shepherd. We need him to guide us, to provide for us, and to protect us. So when Jesus is our shepherd, I love it, verse 1 again, I shall not want. Years ago, I stumbled on the translation or paraphrase in the New Living Bible, or the Living Bible at that time by Kenneth Taylor. And it reads like this. It said, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. I love that. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. Now, in this 23rd Psalm, I want to point out three areas of need the shepherd takes care of. He takes care of my frailties, he takes care of my fears, and he takes care of my future in eternity. Let's look first of all at verses 2 and 3. He takes care of my frailties. Go back there with me. He says, he makes me to lie down. So, the Lord's my shepherd. I have everything I need. He makes me lie down, verse 2, in green pastures. And he leads me, I love that, beside still waters. And he restores my soul. And he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In Psalm 103, verse 14, the psalmist said, he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Now, there are three blessings the shepherd supplies in our frailties. First of all, he gives us rest, verse 2. Look at it with me. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and then he leads me beside the still waters. In the Middle East, there's very little grass, so the shepherd must keep moving to find green pastures. You're always on the move. From the lowlands to the high plateaus or the mesas, up through the deep canyons, he takes the sheep to find the green pastures. But the sheep cannot rest unless they are free from two things essential. Number one, fear, and number two, hunger. They're not going to sleep if they're afraid and have rest. They're not going to sleep if they're hungry. Now, some of us are the same. When there's fear in our hearts, we're not finding rest in our lives. So no rest, the Bible says, for the wicked. They're like the troubled sea which the wind drives, and there's no rest for them. But Jesus in John 11 made one of his most beautiful promises when he said, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Now you can go to the drugstore and you can buy sleep. But you can't buy rest for your soul. Only Jesus Christ can give you rest in your heart. So come to Jesus, come to the Good Shepherd, and he will give you rest from all of your weary labor. Only Jesus is the Good Shepherd and can provide us rest. Rest for our soul. Now, he gives us also restoration in our frailties. Look at verse 3. He restores my soul. Now, in the Hebrew, that phrase, restores my soul, means literally he brings back to life or he brings back to health. So I believe he's describing what would be the beginning of the Christian life where Jesus forgives our sins and restores our health spiritually. We come to a relationship with Christ. In the Hebrew, it's an idiom for he cleanses, he heals, he forgives, he restores. Some have actually said that it conveys the idea of that he brings me to repentance so that I can be restored. Now, if you've never read the book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller, you got to get that book and read that book. It's a fascinating book written by a shepherd who lived in New Zealand who was also a pastor. Now, I've been to New Zealand. New Zealand has more sheep than it does people. I've also been to West Australia, which is lots of sheep. But in New Zealand, there's sheep everywhere. He wrote this beautiful book. And in one of the chapters, he talks about the concept of a sheep getting what's called cast. That means a sheep will lay down after eating his food, and his equilibrium shifts, and he rolls over on his back, and his legs go into the air, and he starts kicking the air, and he can't get back on his feet. So the sheep is lying there helpless. Bah, bah. The shepherd has to hear the bleeding of the sheep, come to his rescue, put him back on his feet, massage his legs, get the blood circulating that he can walk again. So how many times do we stumble and fall? Do we cry out to the Lord, bah, and he hears our pleading. He hears our bleeding, and he comes to our rescue. This is why David, after he sinned with Bathsheba and repented and turned back to the Lord in Psalm 51, he actually said, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." He needed restoration. He became cast. This is why he also used the expression, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God." So many times we get cast down, and we need the Lord to come after us, to restore us, and to bring us back into fellowship with him. I love the parable Jesus gave in Luke 15 of the shepherd who had 100 sheep. And one of the sheep got out of the sheepfold at night and was lost. Now, if I were the shepherd, I would just go, "Stupid sheep. I ain't going to risk my life out there trying to find him at night. I got 99 left. That's good. Let's just stay here. Aren't you glad I'm not your shepherd?" But no, this good shepherd, he makes sure the sheep are safe, gets them in the fold, and he goes out looking for the one lost sheep. That's you and I. I know I can look back on my life and I can see that God sought after me. He pursued me. He tracked me down. And then he restored my soul. How wonderful when we sin and fall, God forgives us and brings us back and puts us on, thirdly, righteous paths. So first of all, our frailties, he gives us rest. Secondly, he gives us restoration when we stumble and fall. And thirdly, he puts us on righteous paths. Look at verse 3. "He leads me in paths of" what? "Righteousness." For what? "His name's sake," or "for his glory." So he leads me and restores me in the righteous paths. Now, what a blessed thing it is, because you know sheep have no sense of direction. Sheep get lost so easily. They can't find their way home. A dog can find his way home. A horse can find its way home. A cows can find their way home. You ever been driving out in the country, seeing cows out in the field? They have GPS. They know where the barn is. They know where to go, where they're going. They know the way back home. But sheep don't have any sense of direction. This is why Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned to our own way, but the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all." So don't be afraid. God will lead us and guide us. Jesus forgives us, restores us, and leads us in our frailties. Where does he lead us? Look at verse 3 again. "Paths of righteousness." It's always a righteous path. When Jesus forgave the woman in John 8, "Neither do I condemn you," he then said what? "Go and sin no more." When we've been forgiven by God's grace, saved by faith in Christ, that we might walk in holiness and righteousness, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to walk in his righteous paths. So why does he lead us? Verse 3 says, "For his name's sake," or "for his glory." Now in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, verse 12, and verse 14, three times, says that we're saved to be to the praise of the glory of his grace who first trusted in Christ. So he forgives me, he restores me, he leads me, all this for his glory. I need a shepherd. Amen. Now here's the second thing I have to not want, and that is he takes care of my fears. So he takes care of my frailties, but he also takes care of my fears, and we are so filled with fear. Verse 4 and 5. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear," there it is, "no evil." Why? "For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Sheep have no natural defense. They don't have claws, they don't have sharp teeth. They have no natural defense. They need a shepherd to protect them. So in the dark valleys, the sheep are timid, they're afraid. They don't want to go up the canyons. They are fearful. Jesus goes before us and takes away our fears. Now, for us as believers, there's no fear of death, and we have no fear in life. Look at verse 4 again. He calls it the valley of shadow of death. Now, you don't have to fear death. It's just a shadow. Jesus took the sting out of death. If you are a Christian, listen to me carefully. You do not need to be afraid to die. I heard someone say, I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to be there when it happens. I don't know how that works. But as a Christian, no fear of death. No fear in life. No fear in death. You're not ready to live until you're ready to die. And you know that you're forgiven. You'll go to heaven when you die. Valley of shadow of death. Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty of our sins, to take the sting of death. And he rose from the dead. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll get on Wednesday nights. This tabernacle, this tent is dissolved. We have a building of God not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We groan in our body right now, but one day we will be clothed in immortality and we'll spend eternity with God. So no fear in death. And then secondly, no fear in life. When it uses the phrase valley, a shadow of death, in the Hebrew, it's literally valley of deep darkness. Many Hebrew scholars rightfully so believe that it conveys not just the fear of death is taken away, but the fear of trials and darkness and hardships in this life. Maybe you're going through a deep, dark valley of discouragement or doubt or fear. Maybe you've just been diagnosed with cancer. Maybe you have lost a job or lost a loved one. Maybe you just buried a child. It's very difficult. You're going through a difficult, dark time in your life. Even when you go through those deep, dark valleys, God is with you. He watches over you. He will take care of you. No fear in death, no fear in life. Now, how is it that we have no fear of evil? The shepherd's presence. Look at verse 4. Thou art with me. Jesus said, I will never leave you. No, I will never, ever forsake you. Isn't that a great promise? He's promised never to leave us alone. I will never leave you or forsake you. Romans 8 starts with no condemnation to those who are in Christ. It ends with no separation from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Someone said, I'd rather walk with God in the dark than walk alone in the light. I'd rather walk with him by faith than to walk alone by sight. So we have the shepherd's presence. But notice we also have the shepherd's protection. In verse 4, don't miss that. He says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So you want to underline the word rod and underline the word staff brings you comfort. Now, what's the rod? The rod is a club for protection. It's not used on the sheep. He doesn't say, yea, though I walk through the valley, thou beatest me. He says, no, I am comforted that you have the club. And should a lion or a bear come, they will beat it away. They will fight it off. David killed lions and took back his lambs that they had stolen for protecting them. So the rod speaks of protection, and then the staff speaks of direction. He will direct us and lead us. That long staff with a curl on the end where the shepherd can reach out and hook the sheep and pull it back onto the path and direct it. So it provides courage and provides comfort. And notice also, we don't need to be afraid because he is the shepherd who provides for us. We have his provision. And I love this, verse 5. He says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I have enemies, but I don't need to be afraid. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Now, many scholars, I think rightfully so, point out that the picture now changes from the Lord as our shepherd to the Lord as our host. We go from the sheep in the pasture to the guest in his home. So now he's Jehovah Jireh, which means God sees, so God will provide. Provision, so Jehovah vision. He sees, he provides. In Psalm 37, verse 25, David said, I have been young, and now I am old, but I've never once seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I remember when I was young, I couldn't say I was old because I wasn't old. But now that I've been young and now that I am old, I can actually say from the time I was young till the time I'm now old, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Do you know that God takes care of us? Did you know that? God will provide, amen? Remind yourself, if you're fearful, if you're afraid, if you're wondering, how am I going to pay for my retirement years? How are we going to provide for our family? What's going to happen here? God will provide. He is Jehovah Jireh. Whenever God sees, God provides. And if you are his sheep, he sees, he knows, he'll take care of you. Paul said in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. So whatever you're afraid of today in death or life, God will provide. God will take care of you. If the Lord is your shepherd, you have everything you need. No fear of death, no fear of his presence. You have his presence, you have his protection, and you have his provision. But here's my favorite verse. Thirdly and lastly, he takes care of not only my frailties, my fears, but verse 6, he takes care of my future. Surely, goodness and mercy, loving kindness in the Hebrew, shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. And I will dwell, where? In the house of the Lord for how long? Forever. David in verse 6 is summarizing the entire psalm. He's summarizing all the verses from 1 to 5 in verse 6. Goodness, mercy, all my life long. When I die, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and forever. You know, the Christian life is a pilgrimage. If you're a Christian, you're a pilgrim. You're just passing through. You're just on a journey from earth to heaven. And we should let our contact with the world be as light as possible. We're going from earth to heaven. You're a pilgrim. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So the pilgrimage, when the Lord is our shepherd, we will dwell one day in the house of the Lord. Now, there's two categories here in verse 6, in life and in death. In life, goodness and mercy followed me all the days of my life. Now, I want you to note something. Goodness and mercy followed you in the valley of shadow of death. Even in the deepest, darkest, hardest times of your life, God is good. Amen. Even in the deepest, darkest times of your life, God is a God of mercy. Take just a moment and turn your thoughts toward God's goodness in your own life and say, thank you, Lord, for watching over me, for providing for me, for caring for me, for restoring my soul, for leading me back on paths of righteousness, for the rest, for the provision. All my life, God, you have led me and guided me and taken care of me. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Even in the deep, dark valleys, God is merciful and filled with loving kindness. But in death, I love it. Verse 6. I will dwell where? In the house of the Lord forever. God keeps the best for last. All this and heaven too. Now, this is a great parallel to John 14, when Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room and he said, I'm going to go back to heaven. And their hearts were sad. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then he said, in my Father's house are many what? Mansions in the King James Bible. And you know, I kind of jokingly talk about that. But you know, the Greek word there means abiding places. It means places. It's a room. It's a bedroom. It's a provision. You know that you're a pilgrim. You're a stranger. You're just passing through. But there is a place for you in heaven in the Father's house. He's prepared it for you. And that's your home. You know that when a Christian dies, you know where they go? Home, right? They go home. We don't weep for them. We weep for us. We're still in Menifee. God have mercy on me. But when a believer dies, they go to be with Jesus. They're in his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. In his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So we're at home with the Lord. This is talking about heaven. So all the blessings of this life, and in the end, heaven too. I love how D.L. Moody packaged this song. He put it together with 7 points. With me, the Lord. Beneath me, green pastures. Beside me, still waters. Before me, a table. Around me, my enemies. After me, the goodness and mercy of the Lord. Ahead of me, the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Now, I love the fact that David is so sure. You talk about a verse of assurance. He said, verse 6, I will. He didn't say, I hope. I maybe, if I'm lucky, if I've been a good person. No, he said, I will what? Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You can know that when you die, you'll go to heaven. You know how you know that? The Lord becomes your shepherd. Only those who can say, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, can say, verse 6, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Have you put your faith in Christ? Have you trusted him who died for you? It's the only way to have hope beyond the grave. Let's pray.